It's wonderful to be here with you tonight and worshiping our great God. Pray with me, please. Father, enlighten the eyes of our hearts to see the riches of Jesus. Help me now by your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Who is the greatest? Who is the greatest? Whether we're talking about the greatest basketball player, golfer, baseball player, pop star, or even the U.S. president. So much time and energy is spent trying to determine who truly is the greatest in different realms of our world. In basketball, people argue Jordan and LeBron. Golf, Tiger and Jack. In baseball, Shohei Ohtani now, a Dodger, or Babe Ruth. And I know who Frank would vote for. He loves a Dodger blue just like me. What about a pop star? The king of pop, Michael Jackson, or I've heard that even Taylor Swift is in the conversation. What about what about U.S. president? Washington or Lincoln? I'm going to stay old. I'm going to stay in the past. But if somebody came up to you and asked, who is the greatest person that ever lived? I'm fairly confident that you in this room would say Jesus. But are you prepared to back up your answer with evidence? Are you prepared to back up your answer with evidence? And so the passage we are looking at tonight, Colossians chapter 1, 18 through 20, provides all the evidence you need. It provides all the evidence you need. So follow along as I read it now. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. You know, just thinking about the main theme of Colossians or the context of the whole book, Paul, he wrote this letter from prison to the church of Colossae, and kind of the whole context of the whole book would be alive in Christ, believers grow to maturity, they resist falsehood, live transformed lives under his supreme and sufficient lordship. And the previous verses implored us to glory in Jesus because he is over creation. And verses 18 through 20 implore us, this is my main idea, to glory in Jesus because he's the greatest of all time. Glory in Jesus because he's the greatest of all time. Calling Jesus the GOAT is true. I know it's true, but it's honestly, it's a bit of an understatement. He's even greater than the GOAT, if you can even say that. I don't think we have words. I can't come up with a better thing than GOAT. So how do we know Jesus is the greatest of all time? Well, point one is verse 18. He is the head of the church. He is the head of the church. Paul uses the human body as a metaphor to describe the church as the body of Christ. And he is the head. It's not the lead pastor. It's not an elder. Christ is the head of us all. Further still, as member of the church, as we act like a hand or a foot or a toe, Christ as the head tells the hand or the foot or the toe what to do. Just like the body is controlled by the brain, Christ controls every part of the church. Jesus provides leadership and direction for his body, his church, sustaining and providing everything it needs to function properly. This verse refers to the universal body of Christ, all believers across all time and all the world. But it's also very specific to the local church, including us here at UBC. Without the head, the body cannot survive. Without Christ, there is no life and no purpose. The next argument for why Jesus is the greatest of all time is in the second half of verse 18. He is the beginning. the firstborn from the dead. Jesus was there in the beginning, creating the world, as Brad taught this morning from John 1 and thinking about Genesis chapter 1. He is the founder of a new humanity, a new people who are spiritually reborn, because he was the first to rise and never die again. He is the only one who resurrected from the dead. He is the only one the grave could not hold. Through his resurrection, he caused us to be born again to a living hope. Every person that might be in this conversation about the greatest person ever has died. Muhammad died June 632. Gandhi died January 1948. Isaac Newton died in 1643. Their bones are still in the ground, but not Jesus. He rose. God raised him from the grave after 3 days. He is the only one to defeat death, so that in everything he might be preeminent. In everything, he is the greatest. He is supreme. So let me ask you, by way of application, do you live as if he is the greatest? Do you really believe he is the greatest counselor when you need advice for a difficult situation? Do you really believe he is the greatest source of comfort when you feel depleted? Or do you turn to Netflix or TV to binge? Do you really believe Jesus is the greatest refresher of your soul? Or do you think the perfect vacation is the cure? Here at UBC and as Christians, we would all say that we think Jesus is the greatest of all time. But what is competing for greatness in your mind and heart? Money, success, relationships? What if God took it all away? Would you still stand in awe of his greatness? I know many of you are walking through different challenges, difficult challenges. Do you believe his supremacy will heal every hardship? Listen, the empty tomb proves it all. He's not just another teacher, prophet, or worker. He is the Son of God who was there in the beginning at creation, and he is victorious over death as the firstborn from the dead. Do you need more or evidence to glory in Jesus? Paul wants us to see even more. The third reason why Jesus is the greatest is according to the verse 19. In him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. That is incredible. The fullness of God dwelt in Jesus. We can't even go near God for our sin, but this verse proves Christ's divinity, showing his preeminence, showing his supremacy, his greatness. He is completely God, not partially, but fully and permanently. And God the Father was pleased for his fullness to dwell in Christ. This is my Son. This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. If God's fullness dwells in Christ, then it dwells now. Not just in the past, but all time, but all the time for all time. The supremacy and greatness of Christ is what Paul wanted the believers in Colossae to take hold of. And my prayer is that you would see that and take hold of it as well. How great Jesus is because fullness of God dwells, not in part, but in full. So why glory in him? Why glory in Jesus? Point four, my final point. He is the great peacemaker. He is the great peacemaker. Verse 20. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Jesus is the great mediator between God and man. Verse 20 assumes something about us. We aren't so great. Apart from Jesus, we have no peace. Isaiah 48:22 says, there is no peace for the wicked, says the Lord. And anyone who doesn't acknowledge their need for Jesus is in the category of wicked, because they've made themselves and their desires the center of the universe. I remember before accepting Christ, I had no peace. And I'm confident that if you're here and you're not in Christ, you're not a follower of Jesus, you don't have true peace. Because of our sin, not only do we lack peace, we are enemies of God. We are far from great, and we aren't even remotely good. We deserve to die. And I implore you by the living God to tremble and repent, for the wrath of the Lord is coming for all ungodliness, all wickedness. It's not, There is a great reconciler, Jesus. By the blood of his cross, he made peace. By the blood of his cross, he made peace for us with God. It's not about what we bring. It's about what he did for us. It's the greatest act of a sacrifice on our behalf. It's all about us receiving what he's done. If we want any hope at all, any peace at all, we must be receivers of this transaction. His blood, our peace, for our peace. Just as we saw last time, he is preeminent over creation. We see here he's also preeminent over new creation, new birth. You must die to yourself and be spiritually reborn. You must partake of his grace. If you truly believe that God's fullness was in Christ, making him more than just a prophet or a good man, and you believe that you are in need of being reconciled to him because you haven't acknowledged him as the supreme in your life, then come to the deep fountain of his blood, of the greatest person who ever lived, spilled out for you, and be reconciled to God. In conclusion, Jesus is supreme in all things. He is the greatest because he's the head of the church. He's the greatest because he's the beginning and the firstborn from the dead. He's the greatest because in him, God was pleased to dwell. And he's the greatest because he's the great peacemaker. If you believe this to be true, then glory in Jesus, because he is the greatest of all time. Let's pray.